Good morning. I've got to fire up my loudspeaker so you can hear me. Good morning. Man, today is an exciting day. I want to tell you why. Because, a couple different reasons. There's a football game today. I know some of you are excited. Pastor Nick only gave me 3 verses to preach on, so we're going to be out of here in plenty of time. And it's exciting because the Lord has given us an incredible gift. And His gift is free. And His gift is life-changing. It's direction-altering. We're never the same. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the reason that we're here. And the reason that we're here is the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice on the cross, that you reconciled us to you. You restored the relationship that was broken at the beginning of time, at the beginning of the Bible, and you heal that through the blood of your Son. And you set us free. And for that reason alone, we can stand in your presence and say thank you. Because we have been brought back to you. And we are never the same. Holy Spirit, as we go into these verses, reveal to us the truth of Scripture. Reveal to us the heart of God. And may we go home knowing who you are. Amen. Amen. My name is Darren. I'm one of the pastors here at Bridgeway. Pastor Nick is not here today. He's with his family. They're visiting his oldest son and his wife, so they're out of town. And today we are in the book of Luke. We're in chapter 18. So I'm going to give you a minute, and I want you to open your Bibles. We're into Luke 18. Verse 15. So go ahead and turn there right now. As we go through Luke, you're going to see many things. And today is going to be a reflection on the introduction to Christmas. It's hard to believe, isn't it? We're just over a month away. Did you notice now as you drive around town? Do you notice what's getting turned on? Do you see the lights? How many of you have already turned on the Christmas lights? Do we have some Christmas lights in the house? Ours went on last night. I'm not going to lie. It was last night. They got plugged in, and it's exciting. It's exciting. You know who else gets really excited for Christmas? The kids do. Something that nobody warned me about. Something that nobody warned me about when I had kids. You think people would say this. What people don't say is get ready for Christmas. What everyone does say is, oh, you're going to have such a great Christmas this year. It's going to be so exciting. Why? Because you have a baby. People always look at Cooper and go, oh, wait for Christmas. Christmas is going to be so much fun. And now that we have baby Jesse, people keep saying, oh, it's going to be such a good Christmas. You know, no one said that before we had babies. No one came up to us and said, oh, Darren's married to Chantel. You're going to have such a good Christmas. But as soon as you have a baby, everything changes. Oh, it's going to be a big year. It's going to be a huge Christmas. Why do people say that? What is so much fun about having a kid at Christmas? You ever watch them open gifts? Watch how excited they get. How everything is just, wow. Every little thing. Everything. And by the end of the day, they're playing in the boxes, right? Because ultimately, set the toy down, give me the cardboard box. Today we're going to talk about receiving the gift of God like a child. And as we go through that, I want you to constantly be thinking back to a child receiving a gift. When Jesus talks about the way that a child receives the kingdom of God, be thinking about a young kid getting a gift on Christmas morning. The way they hold it, the way they look at it, the way their eyes get huge, the way they begin to shake and vibrate, the way they open it up. Their joy. Just keep thinking about that. I'm not going to lie. This week, as I was preparing to go through this, I did what I always do, and I read the whole chapter of Luke, and I begin to look for keys and themes in every piece of the chapter. And I began to build this outline of Luke. Like, we're only one chapter away from him going to Jerusalem. And then once he gets to Jerusalem, the week of Passion starts. The week of Easter starts. Think about that. We're one chapter away from Easter, and it's a month till Christmas. In three stories from now, he's going to be walking into the city of Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna. It's about to happen. And he stops to talk about the kingdom of God. In the very first story, he says, the kingdom of God is in your midst. I am the kingdom of God, he says. He's trying to explain it to them. Because they believed they had to earn the kingdom of God. The people were taught under the old covenant that when you sinned, you brought your sacrifice, you gave your sacrifice, it was killed, the blood was shed, you were given redemption, you were given freedom until the next time that you sinned, and then you started all over again. This constant cycle. You were responsible for your own righteousness. It took an action from you to cover up the mistakes you had made. So what you see is you see these stories of these Pharisees, and they're working incredibly hard to earn their own righteousness. But that's what the law produced. The law produced people that used all their energy to fulfill the law. And the law in itself kept people from salvation. See, you notice at the beginning of Luke 18, you have a persistent widow. And this widow is just persistently crying out to God, and God provides her with justice. In the next story, you notice this Pharisee who's incredibly self-righteous. And the Pharisee is at the temple and he's praying to God and says, Lord, I'm so pleased with myself because I'm such a good person. And I'm so glad for all the good things in my life. And I'm so glad I'm not like him. And there's this tax collector begging for mercy. The story after this one is the rich man in the kingdom of God. And it talks about how he's looking for a way to receive eternal life. And Jesus says to him, you must give up your treasure. You must give it up and follow me. It's going to require incredible sacrifice. And the rich man goes away very sad because he wasn't prepared to give it up. Jesus is going to predict his death one more time, and the next story after that is a blind man begging out in faith for mercy, and God is merciful to the man of faith. And you begin to see a theme throughout the whole chapter, and I built this outline and it filled a whole page. It was incredible. And then this morning I realized I had taken one of the most simple passages and I had complicated it. I'd completely complicated it. And it needed to be brought back. When you give a kid a Christmas present and you hand it to him, what does he not do? What does he not do? A whole lot of things. He doesn't start to question your motives. Why on earth would you give me this present? He doesn't think to himself, oh no, now I'm in debt to this person and I must give them back a gift, otherwise it would not be polite. He doesn't think to himself, I wonder what the ongoing cost of this gift is going to be. Because it's a gift that requires batteries, that's going to require an investment from myself over a course of time. This child doesn't begin to think these things to himself. He doesn't begin to think, what if the thing inside the box is not the exact model of the thing that I wanted? I'm going to be disappointed. He doesn't think these things. You hand a gift to a child and he simply receives it with joy and celebrates. He doesn't complicate it with those things. And I needed to simplify what we're learning this morning. Because the gift of God is incredibly profound, and yet it's profound in how simple it is. The old covenant created a system and a cycle of you trying to achieve your own salvation and working for it. You see it over and over and over again. But Jesus shows up, and what he preaches to them is what? That the last will become first, and the least of you will become the greatest. He says, I've come to flip everything upside down. Everything is going to change. The whole system and cycle you're used to, no, reversed. Everything is going to be flipped upside down. Instead of praising the Pharisees for their dedication to the faith, he looks at the mighty tax collector, the filthy sinner, and he goes, that's what I like to see. A man receiving mercy and forgiveness. It says the people, this is verse 15 of Luke 18. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. So let's give some context to this story. Jesus and his disciples traveled everywhere together. And as they went out, these crowds followed. We know in some stories there was thousands of them. So can you imagine myself and 12 of my friends following behind me, and then 1,000 people lined up behind us. And they went everywhere together. The crowd was enormous, absolutely enormous, enormous. And everywhere Jesus went, he was just swarmed by people. We even know 2 stories from now, when he heals the blind man, that the crowd is so loud that Jesus can hardly hear this blind man screaming for help. The crowd is enormous. And Jesus is trying to teach them about the kingdom of God. Well, sure enough, there's these women, these annoying women that keep getting in the way. And what are they doing? They're bringing their kids. Like, what are you doing with your child? Take your child home. And these women are running up with their babies. Jesus, touch my baby. Jesus, just touch the baby. Place your hand on the baby. And the disciples are probably forming a wall, right? They've probably got their hand in each other's hands. And like, stay back, all right? He's got things to do. He's bringing in the kingdom of God. He's ushering in 1,000 generations of righteousness. Back up. And these ladies are running up with their babies. Just touch the baby. Touch the baby. Bless my baby. See, now would be the perfect time to have Nick come running in with a baby, yelling, touch my baby. If he was here. This whole idea of the disciples trying to guard Jesus from this distraction. But Jesus does the exact opposite of what they're expecting. He called the children to him. He said, let the little children come. Don't hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now we have to remember, when we speak about the kingdom of God, who are we speaking about? We're speaking about Jesus. He says, the kingdom of God is now here. It is in your midst. Jesus is right here. I am ushering in the kingdom. The kingdom is him, and it's the kingdom coming. So when he says, let the children come to me, the kingdom belongs to them. Jesus is saying, I belong to them. Let them come forward. I belong to them. Come here. It's okay. But verse 17 is the key to this passage. And it describes the gift that we receive. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. That's incredibly stern. To say that all of us need to accept the kingdom of God like a child, or what's the consequence? Never entering in, ever. But what does it look like to receive the kingdom of God like a child? How can I draw that out for you? How can you clearly see what that would look like? You have to remember the time and the context that they're in. Remember, there are Pharisees standing in the middle of the temple, bragging about all of their accomplishments, trying to tear down Jesus, and there's tax collectors on their knees begging for mercy. This is the system that's been created. This is everyday life for them. Incredible Pharisees of faith and broken sinners begging for help. How do you receive the kingdom of God like a child? Anticipation. The first thing I thought of right away is the anticipation. When you bring in a child, if we were to bring in Cooper right now, you could take the hymn book. You could wrap it up in a bow, and he could come in, and you could say, Cooper, this is for you. And you know what he would do? Whoa. You just wrap it up in a bow. You clearly see it's just a green book. Wow. You'd hand it to him, and he'd hold it. Whoa. And he'd begin to play with the pages and open it up and take a look. There's this incredible anticipation. There's this incredible excitement. And the kingdom of God needs to be accepted and received with anticipation and with excitement. There's a lasting joy. When you give a child a gift, it gives them this sense of fulfillment and joy. Yeah, sometimes they get distracted and they forget about their gift later, but it just gives them this joy. It gives them this peace. They love receiving gifts. There's no fear that it's going to get taken away from them. There's no fear that they're going to lose it. When you give them a gift, they just assume it's theirs to keep. It's mine. Why would Dad want to take it away? It's mine. And probably the craziest part is there's no fear of what other people are going to think of them. It's no fear of, did I get the nicest gift? Look at his gift. Or feeling bad because you did get the nicest gift. Or what is my brother going to think because of this gift? There's none of that. When you give a child a gift, they're not comparing themselves. It's simple. It's love and it's joy and it's peace. But so many of us fall into the trap of receiving the kingdom of God with all of these stipulations. We often talk about childlike faith. Most people in church today would say that they believed in the Lord Jesus at the age of a child. You don't hear a lot of stories about people becoming a Christian partway through their life. They receive it like a child. And then over time, we complicate it. We're guilty of not praying. We're guilty of not reading our Bibles. So we feel incredible guilt and shame. We look at our next door neighbor and we compare ourselves. Or you sit in the pews and we're guilty of either feeling guilty by looking at the person beside us or feeling proud looking at the person beside us. There's all these stipulations that come with it. And we forget why Jesus gave it to us in the first place. He gave his son to give us rest, for it to be restful. When you give your child a gift, it's to bring them joy. And God gave his one and only son. And yet so many Christians come to church and you sit in this room feeling ashamed. You're feeling not good enough. You're feeling like the pastor is going to throw a curveball at you and you're going to go home thinking to yourself, I'm just not good enough. I'm just not good enough. We're going to point our finger and wag at you because you don't read your Bible enough and you don't pray enough. Sometimes there's very little joy in the gospel. And I'm here to apologize because I'm sorry if I have ever pulled the joy out of the gospel. The gospel demands sacrifice. It demands the sacrifice of our lives, and I'm not ashamed to say that. But it's a sacrifice of joy. It's motivated by love. We worship God because we love him. We give offerings because we love him. I've made him the center of my family because I love him. Not because I feel bad or guilty or ashamed. We're children of God. He gives us his Holy Spirit because we receive adoption, sonship. We're his child, and he's given us this gift. And this gift isn't to weigh us down. This gift isn't to burden us. The gift was to remove the burdens. I want you to experience that joy. I want the gift of salvation and grace to set you free. Because if you've received the grace of Jesus Christ and it's only burdened you with guilt or it's covered you in rules, then you don't understand grace. Grace sets people free. It's a gift. This poor Pharisee is standing in the temple trying to justify himself. He's trying to prove to God that he's good enough. You don't have to be good enough. I say this all the time when I'm talking to the teenagers, because as a teenager, I did not hear this clearly. So I constantly say it to them. You are not good enough, and that's okay. He died for you when you were a sinner. He died for you when you were at your worst. His love will always be consistent for you. You don't have to spend the rest of your life comparing yourself to the Christian sitting beside you or in fear that one day God might snatch salvation away from me. You don't have to. He died for you when you were full of sin, and every day you were being conformed by the Holy Spirit to the likeness of his son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is sanctifying you. It was meant to be a gift, and yet for some of us it's like chains around us, weighing us down. I imagine Jesus with all these kids. Maybe he's holding a child. Maybe he's holding a child. These kids are hugging his legs. And he looks at the disciples and goes, this is how you receive the kingdom of God. Come here. Come here. Come receive the kingdom of God. This Christmas, as we begin Advent, and as we begin to talk about the birth of Jesus, I hope that you're thinking about it through the lens of these children running to Jesus. Of these kids full of joy, just vibrating with joy and shaking. Sometimes we forget that it says in the gospel that when someone believes in the Lord Jesus, that the angels themselves are celebrating in heaven. It's the most incredible moment. It's the most incredible moment. And yet some of us are walking around like we're chained to the floor, you know? Come to Jesus. Cling on to Jesus. Hug his leg if you have to. Never let him go. Allow him to hold you. You ever held a child? You watch the way they relax when you hold them? Allow yourself to be held by Jesus. Receive him like a child. Fall back into his arms and rest. Rest in him. Learn what that means. To let go of the fear you're not good enough. And know that you are accepted and forgiven. It burdens my heart when I talk to teenagers that don't feel like they're good enough for God. When they feel like they don't live up. And I want to make sure that every one of you know that you live up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone in this room right now and you do not know you have not experienced that forgiveness. And you're thinking to yourself, there's no way I'm good enough for that. I'm here to tell you, you are. Jesus Christ was sacrificed for you, and you are good enough. Because he died for you in your sin. Because his love is unconditional. All you have to do is receive the gift. All you have to do is receive it. He is holding it out to you. Open it up. Thank him for his forgiveness. Thank him for his unconditional love. Don't be afraid of the rules and the burdens and the stress that comes with it. His gift is so, so simple, and yet it's so easy to complicate it. Whether you're a Bridgeway senior, whether you're a young teenager, whether you're one of those little kids playing in the toy room right now, I want you to go home feeling set free. So I'm going to pray over you. And as I pray over you, I want you to be thinking about the things in your life or the areas in your life that you have not surrendered to God for him to hold. I want you to reveal to him and give back to him the different stresses, the distractions in your life. The times that you felt judged, or the times that you've judged other people, or the burdens that you've placed on yourself, and hand those back to him. Don't be afraid to run up to him like a child runs up to their parent. And just enjoy being in his presence. He's your dad. The Lord is our father. Yet sometimes we treat him like a taskmaster. He's our dad. You ever watch the way a dad holds his child? You ever watch the way a grandpa holds his grandson or his granddaughter? God is waiting to give you the most incredible gift, and it gives him such great joy. And we live in a world that doesn't know who he is. I want you to experience the joy of your salvation. I want you to feel the joy that you once felt when you first believed in God. So if there's anything that you need to lay before God and apologize and say, God, I'm so sorry that I burdened myself and burdened others with these expectations. I simply want to receive your gift. So I want to pray over you. Heavenly Father, I pray for the people in this family. Lord, I pray that you would help them to hand back the burdens that they've placed on themselves, the expectations that's been placed on them, when this gift is free and this gift is life-changing. Lord, your sanctification is a beautiful thing. But Lord, the unnecessary expectations that we've placed on ourselves or on each other, Lord, carry those for us. Lord, help us to have childlike faith. To be able to look at the areas of the Bible or the areas of our Christian faith that we don't understand, and we're able to trust you knowing it's going to be okay. Lord, I want this family to be a family that's filled with joy. Would you restore to us joy? Lord, when we open up the Bible and look at the gospel, will you just give us excitement? Like a small child opening up a large gift. Lord, when we get together in our life groups, when we get together to pray, when we get together in Sunday school or in MOPS or in youth group, Lord, just give us excitement and joy to receive this free gift. Oh, Dad, teach us what it means to feel loved. Dad, show us what it means to feel accepted. Lord, reach out your arms to us and show us what it feels like to be held. Help us to rest. Help us not to be afraid anymore. Thank you, Lord, for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You are powerful and you're faithful. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we thank you. Amen. Chad is going to come on up, and Chad is going to close our service. So come on up. Share what the Lord has put on your heart.
Thanks, man. Before I close, I just want to tell you that 9:30 next Sunday morning, we're going to be meeting in the fellowship room to pray for Nick. Just a special time where we're holding up Pastor Nick to God and his role here at Bridgeway Community Church. Thank you so much, Darren, for your words this morning. Ephesians 3, Paul is speaking halfway through verse 17. It says, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width, height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming this morning.